Welcome back to Insight on CAP Radio. I'm Beth Ruyak. We are evolving here into something I'm informally calling the Monday Mayor's Chats. We're checking in with mayors across the region about the COVID-19 battle and issues because they are specific and different from community to community. West Sacramento's Mayor Chris Cabaldon is joining us right now by phone. Mayor Cabaldon, thanks for making time again for Insight.
Of course, and good morning, Beth.
Good morning. So the lieutenant governor just described the states in the United States really having a sense of you're on your own from the Trump administration and navigating, in some cases, because they have to be on their own, in others, because there are specific needs. How do you find it to be for cities within the state of California?
Well, it has been remarkably different for cities, of course, because the governor has been so extraordinary in providing clear and direct leadership, while also I think he has been quite savvy at using or giving some leash to local governments to experiment and to try things. So, the Bay Area's health order, which was the beginning of the shelter in place, stay at home orders, was carefully crafted, but it was put together in the region of California that probably has one of the strongest views of science and also strongest support for the role of government. And so you think about the experimentation that the Bay Area could do in terms of the strongest, most public health oriented order that you could come up with, the Bay Area could do. And if the White House had issued a nationwide order, even if the governor had issued a statewide order before that, we probably would have ended up with something a bit more milquetoast, maybe a few days later. And all of the science shows that quick, aggressive response that the Bay Area led with, and the governor then took advantage of that to make that statewide, was really key in the position that we're at now, where we're at least defeating the surge here.
Right.
And so I think the mix of state and local in California has been remarkably effective at being both creative and experimental, and also helping people, like citizens, figure out how to grapple with this as well in ways that the rest of the country hasn't seen.
Well, going back even sooner than the stay-at-home orders, California had a state of emergency put in place March 4th, which, if you weren't paying attention, was the big alert to what's going on. And then Yolo County, where West Sacramento is, was so fast after that, by March 6th, declaring a state of emergency as well. So the state has priorities. It's mapped out the categories of most vulnerable populations that it wants to protect. Of course, there's a physical distancing, and now in many areas, wearing a face covering. What's been specific in West Sacramento in the COVID-19 priorities for your city?
Well, we knew we had a couple of significant challenges, but also big opportunities. And so, in one of the major issues in all of California has been around the homeless population and both their exposure and then the risk of transmission from folks being outside. And so we were one of the first cities in the state to secure motel rooms. This is weeks and weeks and weeks ago for homeless individuals at particular risk. And then as soon as the federal funds came into the state for the governor's Project Room Key, we were one of the first there as well. And we had 67 or 70 motel rooms occupied by folks who were experiencing homelessness previously. That's you think about what our point in time census count for unsheltered homelessness in West Sacramento has been for the last 5 years, including this past January, 85. So getting 60 people or 70 folks into motel rooms has been a significant step forward, and we were one of the per capita were tops in the state in that regard. So that's been a key priority. It was also an opportunity because, as the billboard on Highway 50 announces, we and has since 1940, West Sacramento has a lot of motel rooms. And so, the need and the opportunity came together. The other was in reaching folks at home for food in particular. And I think it's been really extraordinary to see the outbreak of service and of donation and folks coming together, just the partnerships between nonprofit organizations in our community, the Yolo County Children's Alliance, the Yolo Food Bank, along with tons of volunteers and donors, has been remarkable in terms of the amount of fresh, healthy food that's been getting out to people, and the partnerships with supermarkets and others has been quite extraordinary.
There's a lot of discussion that even with the wave of early relief for businesses, much more is needed. Are you experiencing that sense of urgency for small businesses and restaurants in WESAC?
Oh, for sure. And we have no idea even yet the full extent of the damage, because so many restaurants have tried to stay open for takeout and delivery and curbside pickup, or many of our locals, you know, Broderick or La Crosta or others have shifted into philanthropic work in their supporting the food bank or doing hot food meal preparation for folks who are sheltering and cannot for medical reasons leave their homes. And so we just don't know yet the full extent of the economic damage, in part because we also don't know when we're going to be returning from the shelter order and how. And so that makes it very difficult for us, but obviously for the businesses themselves. The other is the nonprofit sector, right? The kind of defines what a community is. You know, your friends at the library, your Rotary clubs, all of the things that make a place, you know, makes West Sacramento something different from Woodland or Elk Grove. Those kinds of organizations are also hurting, because you think about many of them depend on that one annual banquet, or some event. You and I have both supported my sister's house in the past, and their big events where they raise most of their funds for the year comes in May, and it's not happening now. So what happens to all the social fabric of our communities when the nonprofits that need to sustain themselves have lost a period where most of them do their major fundraising?
Meanwhile, this is census time, and your city is among those that's grown quite a bit in a decade. I think 10 years ago, your population came in just under 49,000. In 2020, if you get a good census count, what do you think the landscape of population will look like for West Sacramento?
Well, we also had a fairly flat period of population right after the last census, because we're still in the recession. So, you know, we could conceivably hit a census count of closer to 60,000 this time around if everyone steps up and fills out the form and gets counted. And it's, you know, it's especially important in a city like mine, because we're, you know, our biggest, you know, long-term challenge is the reconstruction and improvement of the levees that surround West Sacramento. We are completely surrounded by water and levees during the winter. And we have a $1 billion plan that's pending in the federal government, and we've been building about a bunch of it with our own money and with the state's money. But our qualification for the federal dollars directly relates to our population, because the cost-benefit analysis procedures that they use add up, like, how many lives are we protecting and how much are those lives worth? So, each individual person just counting, just filling out that form, means additional resources to be able to protect all of us in our health and safety. So it's a big deal.
Well, I'll extend wishes to you for your personal health and safety and to everyone in your office. I appreciate the check-in this morning, and I think it's interesting from city to city where those priorities and efforts are. So it's always good to have this conversation.
Hey, Beth, thanks so much.
You take care. That is Chris Cabaldon, the mayor of West Sacramento. On the phone with us now is Daryl Steinberg, the mayor of Sacramento. Mayor Steinberg, glad to have you with us again.
Good morning, Beth.
Have you heard the talk at the federal level of reopening the economy on May 1st? And are you ready for that to happen in Sacramento?
I think, from all I know, that the idea of reopening the economy on May 1st is a mistake, because we are caught between two stories here. On the one hand, California and Sacramento have done a very good job on physical distancing, and early enough that we are bending that curve. On the other hand, the scientists, who are the people we should listen to, say that if we were to now go back to some form of normal life, that we would run the greatest risk of spiking in terms of infections. In fact, the Los Angeles Times reported, just shocked me, that if Los Angeles was to go back and end the stay-at-home order, that by August the 1st, 95% of the people of Los Angeles would test positive. Now, we don't know exactly what those numbers would be in Sacramento, but that's a shocking number. And so we have to listen to both halves of the story. And will we get to a place in the month of May where maybe we can begin coming back? I hope so, but so much of that, of course, is dependent on this vexing and frustrating testing issue where the failure of our national government, I mean, haven't been political one moment around any of this, but the failure of our national government to actually have a widespread testing program, both on the diagnoses but also on the antibody side, is really the biggest impediment to us going back, because once we have the testing, of course, we can differentiate between people who need to be quarantined or isolated and those who can return to work.
I'm looking at the Johns Hopkins site, the coronavirus dashboard that we've all become so familiar with, and LA County is 8th in the country for positive cases. And perhaps in New Jersey, Louisiana, New York, Michigan, some places, other cities may be getting a lot of the high profile concern and attention, and rightly so right now. LA County being 8th means that what's happening in California and in Oakland as well is certainly cause for not only focus and attention, but may come next in the next couple weeks.
Well, that's right. There are some encouraging signs, of course, but unfortunately, until there is more widespread testing, we're going to have to double down here on the only strategy that works, which is distancing ourselves. And I know, because we all feel it. You're not human if you don't feel it. The frustration and what you call the stir craziness and all the emotions that go with having to change our lives so radically, much less the impact on our small businesses and working people and the equity questions that are raised around all of this. But this will end. It will end. And we are in it together. As it now becomes a cliche, we just have to continue to look out for each other's physical health and safety first.
I'd like to spend a lot of time talking about testing, but I think I'll save that conversation for some of the medical experts that
sure.
we talked to. Last week, you said that small business was top of your list in priorities in addition to the statewide priorities. So applications were opened up for loans and applied for. And as I understand, there was just a flood of applicants. And most of the money went to midtown and downtown neighborhoods. Is there need for and is there a potential for another reopening, another stream of money for small businesses?
Absolutely. The money's gone fast. And I've been on the phone a lot with the banks, our community banks, with our chambers, to see what bugs could be worked out so that the process could move faster. But in fairness to everybody participating here, the Small Business Administration and our banks have processed more loans in 5 or 6 days than they have in the terms of small business for an entire year, a normal year. And so everybody's doing the very, very best they can, but there's no question that there will be a need for a fourth stimulus, not just for small business, but also for the state and for cities because of the impact on budgets and our ability to deliver the services to our people. I hope, and I'm relatively confident that the Congress and the administration will eventually work something out, and certainly small business and assistance to state and to cities be top of my list.
So my colleague, Sarah Mises-Tan, worked on this story at the city level, and in some analysis that our newsroom did, Mayor Steinberg, the number that came up was about 6% of the city's total loan dollars went to daycare facilities, and that was spread over 11 daycare facilities. Less than 1% of the loans went to Central and South Oak Park and Meadowview neighborhoods that you could say are historically underserved. So
yes.
I think a sense of getting the money spread out was something that seemed apparent in the initial wave to people. Is that an issue that can be addressed and will be addressed?
What has to be addressed? Look, at equity was the driving force behind our passage of Measure U back in 2018 to actually invest as a city in economic equity, and it's even more pronounced now. Now, through our Donate for Sacramento fund, money has gone, for example, to a number of restaurants on Stockton Boulevard. In fact, there was a whole Stockton Boulevard strategy. But there's no question that we have got to elevate when it comes to equity. Now, there are opportunities. Sacramento, growth is good, I will tell you this, because our 2018 census number came in at 508,000. The cutoff for the federal stimulus dollars, direct aid to cities for the third stimulus, was 500,000. So we're 8,000 above the threshold. We're going to get about $87 million. The money has to be spent by December the 31st under the law. I want to make sure that that money elevates our Measure U commitment in Sacramento, that it is invested in economic recovery with a lens and a filter towards those neighborhoods that have been traditionally disadvantaged. And so I take the numbers that you've reported very, very seriously and are working every day to make sure that there's an equitable distribution of these dollars. But we've got a long way to go. And the disparities existed long before COVID-19 started.
Right.
But here we go.
I want to wrap up with one thing that isn't related to small business, but in support of our health cares everywhere. You have been lighting and continue to light landmarks in the wash of blue color. And yeah. I think it's such a statement of solidarity across our country, around the world. And I would just like you to say something about your decision.
Well, it is a way to show some visible support to the heroes and heroines of this crisis, our healthcare workers. But I will say lighting the city blue is not enough. We have to match it with as many concrete actions as we can to actually help the healthcare workers. And so more on that this week. We're working on a couple of ideas that, you know, fortunately, there are still very few people hospitalized with the COVID-19 virus in the greater Sacramento County. But that doesn't mean it isn't coming. And people in this healthcare field, not just in Sacramento, but throughout the state and the country, are showing why they are so valued, because they literally are about protecting health and saving lives. And so I think it's one of the silver linings here that we're paying tribute to people who are in the healing profession, and we have to do more.
Thank you so much for this check-in, Mayor Steinberg. You take care, stay safe, and I think the brand new landline at your home sounds terrific.
Thank you. It's a good thing. Beth, same to you. Okay.
Everything old is new again, right? Landlines
exactly
back in the house.
Right. Love the landline. Bye.
All right. Bye-bye. That's Sacramento's Mayor Daryl Steinberg. And you can find my conversation from last week with Stockton Mayor Michael Tubbs at capradio.org/insight. I think we're going to continue this for a while, the Monday Mayor's Chats. You're listening to Insight on Cap Radio. The Uplift is coming up next, and it's quite pretty if you can imagine it. We'll be right back.